Let's turn in our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I want you really to pay close attention tonight, because I believe that God is going to do a work in you tonight that is going to continue to propel you into the things that he has for you to go to. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give you some background as we come up here to Numbers chapter 13. This is the story of Moses and the children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel, what had happened, they were enslaved for over 400 years in the land of Egypt. And so while they were there, God raised up Moses to deliver them out of Egypt. And so, you know, that's a whole message in and of itself, how Moses, you know, argued with God and said, "Hey, I'm not your guy." You know, and I talked about that a little bit on Sunday. But then he answered the call and he led them out, and God started doing mighty things in the lives of the Egyptians. They saw, I mean, check this out. As they're leaving during the day, because in the wilderness, in the desert, you know, it was nothing but hot, nothing but sun. And so what they had is they had this cloud that was, I got to tell you, some of the coolest things. It just reminded me about something. Let me finish my thought, and then I'll tell you something. The cloud that led them by day, it shielded them from the effects of the sun. But then at night during the desert, it gets real cold at night. And so they said it was a pillar of fire by night. Now, this fire and this cloud, I mean, here they are going with them the whole time. And the children of Israel, as they got out there, they started complaining about no food. What are we going to eat? Now, here's God right with them. They're seeing this fire, this cloud go with them, but yet they're turning around, "Moses, what are we going to eat?" As if God's not even there. And then God started giving them, you know, the manna every day. And so they got tired of the manna every day. And so they said, "We're tired of this. We wish that we had gone back to Egypt, because in Egypt we at least had vegetables. They at least gave us good food every now and then." And so they kept having this mentality, "We want to go back to Egypt." Now, why anybody would want to go back to vegetables, I have no idea. But they were getting bread every day. Now, I'm all about yeast rolls and things like that. Amen. But let me pause there. Let me tell you this that I just read just yesterday. You know about the conflict that's going over in Israel. And what's going on. Now, Israel has a defense system called the Iron Dome, okay? And the way that it operates, the Iron Dome, is that as Hamas is shooting missiles their way, the Iron Dome, what it does is it checks what's going on. It calculates, you know, based on the wind and all of that, it calculates this missile coming in, and then it shoots a missile to destroy it before it ever hits. And it's been very effective. Okay, very effective. So one day here in the last week or two, this missile comes in, and so it calculates and it shoots a missile, and the missile misses. And as it continues to come in, it shoots another missile and it misses. And so they don't have but just a few more seconds, and so they went ahead and radioed to let emergency crews, "You need to go to this hospital in this area, because there's going to be mass casualties. We're not going to be able to stop this missile." But what they saw on their indicators is all of a sudden the wind picked up, this huge gust of wind picked up, and it blew the missile into the Mediterranean Sea. Or whichever sea was close. Maybe it's not the Mediterranean, but wherever it was going, it blew it into the sea. And they said, "We saw the hand of God move this missile." There's another commander of the army that said that as their group of Israeli defense people, they were going to do this this military, I don't know, it's not exercise, but they had an assignment that they were supposed to do in the cover of night into Gaza. And so they got it together. They started on their mission. That's what it was, an undercover mission. They started on their mission, and because of some technicalities, they didn't get started in time. And they had to do this under the cover of darkness so that they wouldn't be caught, and they wouldn't expose themselves to enemy fire. And so, but they went ahead with their mission, and as day broke and as they went, this fog, this cloud came in. And it covered them while they did their mission. And as soon as they were finished with the mission, it lifted. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord had me in the middle of the service Sunday morning to pray for Israel. I'm telling you what, you don't want to mess with Israel. You know, and if they even said that the United States has stopped using Israeli military tactics because they don't work for us. And their training and things like that. Why? Because it's not just the Israeli military tactics that's causing them to win. It's the God, the Most High God, that's behind them, and the angel of the Most High God that's just batting those missiles down left and right. Hallelujah. So it's an awesome God that we serve. And now, as you know, as incredible as that is, as we say, that's amazing. And how awesome it is to see this miracle of what God is doing. Think about how much more awesome it was as if that pillar of cloud, that fire by night, if it was with you all the time. And yet, in that moment, the children of Israel, when Moses went into the mountain for 30 or 40 days, said, you know what, let's just build us a golden calf and let's go back to Egypt. Here's the thing that I want you to see as we read through this. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he could not get Egypt out of them.
That's good.
They were always looking back. They were always looking back to where they came from. They were always looking back and saying, it was better over there. Even when we were in slavery, it was better over there. Now let's look at this story in Numbers chapter 13. Finally, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, they finally come up to the promised land. They had seen the miracles in Egypt. They had seen the plagues. They had seen God bring water out of rock two times. They had seen manna. They had seen every day when quail would be dropped at their doorstep. They had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. In verse 3, Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were the heads of the children of Israel. He sent men from each tribe, if you'll look in verse 2. Now, you'll have to read it from your Bible. We still don't quite have scriptures ready for this new screen, but it will be by Sunday. Amen. And so verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get up out of this way southward and go into the mountain. See the land, what it is, and the people that dwells therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. What's the land, or what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad? What cities they are, whether in tents or strongholds? What the land is, whether it be fat or lean. So he really wanted them to go up and bring the first fruits of the land. And so that's what they did. Now look at verse 25. So they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them of the fruit of the land. Now let's check this fruit out in verse 23. They came unto the brook of Eshel and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. That's a lot of grapes. One cluster, and it takes two guys to carry it. So when God said that this land flows with milk and honey, I mean, he wasn't lying. It was a fruitful land. And so they bring all of this fruit. They show it to the people. And let's look at what happens. And they told them, we came into the land where you sent us. and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, in our days, we don't say nevertheless, we say, yeah, but. You know? We talk about the possibilities in God, but then we turn around in the next phrase and we talk about why it won't happen to us. Why it's impossible for us. You know, we got to get the buts out of the way and just go with the yes, because all the promises of God are yes and what?
Amen.
When God gives you vision, God gives you vision without regard to your situation. God doesn't look at your education. God doesn't look at your financial picture. God doesn't even look at your ability to speak and how charismatic you are around other people. God simply knows about the gifts and the callings that He has placed on you from your birth. And based on that and that alone, it doesn't matter the choices that you made throughout your life. Oh, but Pastor, I have really messed up. Well, haven't we all? But nobody's messed up as bad as I have. Well, let me tell you something. If God can take a prostitute and put her in the bloodline of Jesus the Messiah, simply because of her faith in what God could do, not because of how she lived her life, and because of that faith, she found herself in the line of the promise. Glory to God. I promise you, there's nothing that you could have done that automatically excludes you from being able to do things for God. There's nothing that disqualifies you for what God wants to do in your life. He gives you vision. He gives you direction based on what He has called you to do, not based on what you have done. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. What does that mean? It means that God doesn't look at you and say, you know what? I think I missed it. This is what I've called this person to do when they were a baby, but I think I missed it. We need to change that calling. No, no, no. While we sometimes have problems with education, sometimes, you know, we're not sure what our major should be or where we're supposed to go in life, particularly when we, 19, 20, 21, you know. I mean, sometimes we have trouble trying to figure out what's our direction. Where are we supposed to go? God, what are we supposed to do? You know, and so people will go to college and they'll flounder around and they'll go for 2 years and then they'll change their major, you know, and then they'll change their major a third time. Why? Because they just can't figure out what that direction is. And some of the reason why is because the world says that this is the way that you've got to go to become successful. And so a lot of times we're just going to college because that's what the world says to do, instead of seeking God and saying, God, what do you want me to do in this moment? Maybe God's will for you is to go to college. There's nothing wrong with college. If you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, you have to go to college. You can't show up at the hospital and say, I'm called to be a doctor. Guess what God said? They will not hire you. Your patients want you to have some medical knowledge. I don't want to be I'm not ever going to be operated on, but I don't want a doctor working on me just hearing from the Holy Ghost. I want to know he's got some medical knowledge. Amen. But we get so caught up in what the world says that we're supposed to do, that then we think, well, now hear me for a moment. There are people that go to college and then they'll just quit. They'll drop out. There's some people that'll go to high school and they'll quit and they'll drop out. And then they think 5 years, 10 years down the road, I'll never be anything. The devil will come and try to say, because you didn't finish college, because you didn't finish high school, then your success is limited. You can only rise up to so much. No, no, no. With God, all things are possible. You were gifted. You were called the moment you were born. There was something that was placed on the inside of you. Your potential is unlimited. And when you allow the Spirit of God to dwell in you, to tell you what to do, and you start hearing His voice every single day, you start obeying His voice, all of a sudden favor surrounds you. God puts you in the position that you need to meet somebody who will then cause you to elevate, and you will learn. I've got a good friend of mine that right out of high school, he just started doing a little computer work for the Birmingham school system. Just a little work here, a little work there, and just stayed there. And then while he was there, little bit by little bit, God favored him. God elevated to him to where now he is over the entire data center for the Birmingham school system. They said, well, they have a job requirement. I have to have such and such degree. Not when the favor of God's involved in you. It is more important to hear the voice of God than it is to have a degree. It is more important to know that you're in the perfect will of God. Well, what if God places you in a place and then 5 years down the road then says go to college? Then that's okay. We're not in a rat race to see who can finish college first, to see who can get into the workforce first. All that I care about is to being in the perfect will of God. Amen. Now, I know that's a little bit unusual, a little bit different than what the common wisdom is out there in the world. But I'm telling you, where God has us going, we have got to be listening to the voice of God. Amen. Listening to the voice of God. Amen. Amen. Verse 27. We came to the land where you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Anak references giants. Okay? Well, I always, and I've told you this, when I read a story from the Bible, when I like to put myself in their shoes. I like to listen and think, okay, what would I do in this? Because, you know, sometimes we tend to look at these 10 spies and we're like, you guys are so stupid. Why wouldn't you believe God? But I'm asking myself, what would I have done in that moment? So let me just place myself in their shoes for a moment. Moses comes to me and says, hey, Mark, I need you to go spy out the land. Okay, I'm ready to go. Promised land, here we come. God says we're going to be able to take it. We're going to take it. I get over there and I start looking at the cities. And what I see is these huge walled cities. And then I start trying to reason in my mind, how are we going to take that? We don't even have enough bows and arrows for everybody to even, I mean, you think about it. Did the children of Israel, did they leave Egypt with artillery? Did they leave Egypt with weapons? They probably made them along the way, but did they have enough? I don't know. So I'm looking at it, and then I start seeing these giants walking around that are much bigger than me. Now, I have a choice at that point. I can either be moved by the fact that there is no way in the natural that I'm going to be able to take that wall. I'm not going to be able to climb the wall. I'm not going to be able to get through the front door. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I have a choice. Am I going to believe what my eyes are seeing and what my experience tells me? Or am I going to believe the word of God? Because nobody has ever done what God is asking us to do. And you got 12 men that are all faced with the same choice. And 10 of them said, nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land and the cities are walled. He goes on in verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, I mean, right in the middle, I mean, it says Caleb stilled the people. What does that mean? It means that while they were giving this report, people started talking. Oh no, I can't believe this. And then, you know, this murmur starts coming up in the crowd. And so Caleb stilled the people, said, hey, y'all be quiet for a minute. Hold on. Be quiet. Listen to this. And said, listen. And he had a smile on his face. The rest of them, they didn't have a smile on their face. They had a what are we going to do look on their face. But Caleb, he's smiling. Caleb, I mean, he can't even hardly stand it. He's just moving back and forth. He said, look, let us go up next week after we prepare. No, that's not what he said. Come on, let's go through some more defense drills and things like that. No, that's not what he said. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Hallelujah. Now you got 10 of them that looked around and said, we're not able. And I love this. The 10 are sitting over here and they're like, dadgummit, Caleb and Joshua, they're the ones that are always, you know, they're kind of out there a little bit. They're always positive about everything. They're always, you know, glasses half full. You know, they don't ever see the negative side of things. You know, so if we don't do something, then something, you know, this is not going our direction. So here's what happened. So Caleb's doing that. But then verse 31, the men that went up with him said, whoa, wait a minute. We are not able. Okay, Caleb is wrong. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. But the men, and it says, and then they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, really, what we said about it being a land that flows with milk and honey, scratch that. Okay? Really what it is, it's a land that eats up its own inhabitants. I mean, even if we win, we're still in a land that's going to devour us in the first place. And then he said, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And therein is the problem. They looked at themselves from a natural perspective. They looked at what was in their ability to do, and they refused to listen and believe what God had told them. Now, see, Caleb and Joshua and these 10 spies, they all saw the same thing. I want you to get a hold of this. I don't want to say this exactly the way it needs to be said. The difference between one person having victory and one person having defeat in their life is not because the circumstances are different. Okay? The difference is how you view the situation when you come to it. See, some people, what they will do is they will complain about their situation. They will whine about their situation. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I'm going through. And they'll allow the devil to convince them that their situation is worse than anybody else's. And for that reason, they're not getting victory in their life. And they look at their own ability and they say, the situation's too big. In reality, here you have people seeing the same thing, but yet they're not seeing the same thing. Out here, it's the same. How are you processing? See, here's what I want to know. And I know I'm doing a little more teaching tonight than normally I would do on Wednesday nights, but you got to get a hold of this, okay? Because this is important in you stepping out into your next phase in life and you stepping out into the things of God and making sure you obey what God has told you to do. God had showed them miracle after miracle after miracle. And at every chance that they had, they kept saying, I wish we were back in Egypt. Next miracle, they come up, I wish we were back in Egypt. And so here in chapter 14, you're going to see in verse 2, all the children of Israel. Well, first of all, in verse 1, all the congregation, they lifted up their voice, they cried, and the people wept that night. They cried all night long. I mean, they were so heartbroken. Here they were. Expecting deliverance. I don't know what they were expecting when they got there, but they weren't expecting walled cities and giants. I can tell you that. And because, oh, glory to God. Because the circumstance did not meet their expectation, they allowed that to cause them to doubt and to lose faith, and to cry, and to weep. So many times, we put expectations on how God is supposed to do something in our life. God's the one that gave us the promise. God's the one that will get it done. I'm not going to tell him how to do it. I believe that my needs are supplied according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the only thing I need to know. The Bible says that Jesus became poor that I might be rich. That's the only thing that I need to know. Whether that comes through my job, whether that comes through some other source, whether it comes through a business, has nothing to do with the fact that I am a child of the Most High God and I am living in the kingdom. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I was healed. I don't need to know how God's going to do it. I don't need to figure it out. All I need to know is this is what God has said about me. Amen. But see, sometimes what people will do when it comes to healing is a meeting's coming up. Somebody that really flows in the area of healing. And so they'll go to that meeting expecting that when that person lays hands on them, that's when they're going to get healed. Right? And so what happens is that's, you know, they put kind of all of their eggs into that basket. Instead of saying, Father, I know that you've already healed me. Father, I believe that I'm healed. And if you feel like at that point that you need to go up and be prayed for as a point of contact, then absolutely by all means do it. But people come away from those meetings disappointed. They come away crying. They come away doing exactly what these people are doing, weeping all night long because it did not happen the way they expected it to happen. When something doesn't happen the way you expect it to happen, then my question to you is your faith in the way you thought it was going to happen, or is in your faith in thus saith God? Because when your faith, when you believe what God has said about your situation and about who you are, then it doesn't matter what's going on out here. The circumstances can look dire. The circumstances can look like Peter when he stepped out of the boat. Everything, nothing changed when he stepped out of the boat except he believed the word that said, come, walk on the water. And he did. God didn't just all of a sudden create a walkway in the water. The waves and stuff were still going, right? Why? He just believed. He just believed. Then when he allowed himself to be affected by what the circumstances were doing, looking at the winds, looking at the waves, and he said, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be able to do this. He descended back into himself and then started descending into the water. Believe God. Period. What I want to know, see, while God, well, let me finish reading here. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation and said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. They're like, We would have rather died in the land of Egypt. You know, sometimes when the pressure gets so bad, when you get so disappointed, so disillusioned, you're going to say stuff that you never meant. That's why people get suicidal and stuff like that, because they're not anchored in the things of the Word of God. And so they just start spouting off at the mouth. Would to God that we had died in Egypt, or would to God that we had died in this wilderness. Why has God brought us into this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Here they go again. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Hey, like Moses, we've been telling you it's better for us to go back to Egypt. All this time we've been telling you it's better to go back to Egypt. And they said unto one another. Now this is where here it goes. This is where the rubber meets the road. All right, that's it. Let us make a caption. We are going back to Egypt. This is so wild. They hadn't even been in a battle yet. They hadn't even done anything yet. And they'd already, the situation looked so impossible that they allow, listen to me. Because I'm getting excited. Come on, Holy Ghost. The situation, they allowed how bad the potential of the situation was to determine their course of action. They saw foreclosure. They saw an incurable disease. They saw possible layoff from their job. They saw how bad it possibly was going to be, and they reacted based on the impossibility of the situation. And they were ready to return back. I knew this faith stuff didn't work. I knew God wasn't going to do it. And they never got to the point that they really allowed Him to prove Himself in their lives. As soon as they came right up against just a little bit of what looked like resistance, they just wanted it all to be easy. All that God wanted them to do was just believe Him and obey Him and get to that place. Get to Jericho. Just get there. Watch what I'm going to do to that walled city. You can't get into the walled city, but guess what? If the wall's laying flat, you ain't got no issues. You let me worry about the walls. I'm not asking you to do something you can't do. I'll take care of the stuff you can't do. Come on. Just be obedient to me. Glory to God. See, I want to know the heart behind the people that rebelled against God. I don't care about the fact that they rebelled against Him. I want to know what caused them to rebel against Him. And it was this fact: Egypt never got out of them. Their education in Egypt never got out of them. Saints, if you want to move into the greater things of God, you've got to allow your mind to be transformed. You've got to be willing to come up against what looks like an impossibility in front of you. And you've got to be willing to say, Father, I trust You. Father, I will not let fear rule me. Father, I will not let what I see affect the decisions that I make. The decisions I make are based on what Your voice has said. That is the reason why it's so important that this church teaches you to hear the voice of God. You have to obey the things that you've heard. But if you're not hearing Him, then how can you obey Him? And you're going to be like every other wimpy Christian that's just going to whatever comes. It's got to be God's will. It wasn't God's will for them to die in the wilderness. They're the ones that just stayed out there because they refused to obey what He said. Now, let me tell you about somebody who had a different spirit. Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb, after he helped everybody, I keep saying things, and I keep getting revelation, okay? So just bear with me for a moment. Caleb, the one that said, come on, guys, let us go up at once. Do you know what he did? He had such a right heart to the things of God that when he got over there, he helped everybody else get their stuff first. Because he knew. He knew that God got him taken care of. But he said, you know, I'm not so sure about these other people, and I want to make sure they get theirs. And so his heart wasn't all about him. His heart was, come on, I'm just going to help them. I'm going to help you possess. Come on, I'm going to help you possess. Caleb was the spirit of faith that was going with them everywhere they went. Glory to God. They had Caleb to listen to all the time. And then finally, when he got through helping everybody else, he finally said when he was 80 years old, you know, at that point, 80 years old, you think, hey, I'm just going to sit down now. You know, I've been fighting and all of that, and I'm good. I mean, I just stay right here. No, no, no. See, Caleb could have retired over in somebody else's place. He could have gone to the nursing home of Levi or the nursing home of Judah. But no, 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 no. Caleb wasn't willing to just sit in somebody else's nursing home. No. Caleb knew that God had promised him something. And he looked over at that mountain. He said, I'm 80 years old and there's my mountain. So let's go get it. Hallelujah. What can we learn from that? I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. When you got God on your side, there's nobody can keep you from possessing what God has already given you. Man, I got some preach on tonight, don't I? Glory to God. What in the world is happening here tonight? Come on. I mean, let us go up at once. Let me tell you about another story real quick. There was a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. You find this over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. An army, much bigger than their army, came to destroy them. Jehoshaphat, unlike other kings, decided, you know what we need to do? Instead of going out and trying to figure out how to win this, let's get God's wisdom for this. So he told all the people, he said, let's fast, we're going to pray, and let's hear what the word of God says. In the middle of their fasting and their praying, this man stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, you will not need to fight in this battle. I will fight it for you. Now, I don't know if Jehoshaphat knew this man or not, but he believed it to be the word of the Lord. So, Wendy, come here for just a moment, please. Derek, I'm going to have you come up here for just a moment, please. Olivia. Where's Hannah? All right, so where's Seth? All right, Seth, come here for a moment, please. And Lori, I need you for a moment, please. Now, for you that don't know, Derek here is gifted in worship. All right, he is a praiser, a worshiper, right? Okay, so you know Olivia and Wendy and Lori and Seth are all part of our praise team. I could also include Chad, and I was looking for Hannah. All right, but here's our worshipers for a moment. Okay, y'all got this right. Jehoshaphat so believed the word of God that what he did is he said, you know what? He said, stand still. See the salvation of God. In other words, visualize it before you ever see it in the natural. Come on, see it. And he said, I believe this so much that I'm going to send my praise team out first. That way, if all the, you know, if we're wrong in the arrows, it's going to hit them first. No, he wasn't doing this. He wasn't sending them forward first because he wanted to test the waters. He had a different heart than the 10 spies and the rest of the children of Israel. He believed the simple word from God. God didn't tell him how it was going to get done. God didn't give him a great game plan and say, look, this is the military action you're supposed to take. God said, I will fight this battle for you. And so Jehoshaphat, because his heart believed, it's all about the heart, people. His heart believed what God had said. He said, you know what we're going to do? I believe what God had said. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of God. Get my praise team together. Get my worship team together. Because what we're going to do is we're going to send them out and we're just going to praise God and thank Him and keep saying the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. If you are concerned about them getting killed, you don't send them out. This is something that is born out of faith. When you believe what God has said, then what happens is you will say, just like David said in Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. It don't matter what the circumstances say. It don't matter what my job says. It don't matter what my body says. I'm going to start blessing God at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I can't talk bad about the circumstance when I'm praising God for what He's done in my life. I can't talk bad about my body when I'm praising God for giving me life. Glory to God. I can't talk bad about my financial situation when I'm praising God that He has made me rich and that that all of my needs are supplied according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can't talk bad to nobody about my stuff when I'm praising God for what He's done. Glory to God. But praise needs to be born out of faith. Sometimes we praise because we're told we're supposed to praise, and it becomes just words that are coming from our head, and on the inside, we're not believing. Your praise needs to be, let's put it this way. Your praise will not create faith. Your faith will create praise. Get to the place that you believe God unconditionally. Have a seat, please. Thank you, Lord. I mean, think about it. The rest of the army probably looked at it and said, praise team's going first. I know them. They're kind of out there a little bit. They're not real masculine sometimes. Some of the praise teams that I've seen now, we've got masculine guys. Right, Chad?
Yeah, yes, we do.
Oh, yeah, Micah. There you are, Micah. Oh, man. Look, you're in shorts tonight, man. I just, Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me for a moment, please. Hallelujah. Listen. This is exactly what the Lord told me to talk about tonight. Okay? And while generally on Wednesday nights we're we want to give an opportunity for the Spirit of God just to move amongst you. There are going to be those times that there is a word that needs to be spoken. And I have to be obedient to what He says to do. All right. So I want you to think about this for a moment. I believe that tonight, as a result of this word, I believe that there are people that are here that they've come up against some impossibilities. They've come up to a place, a crossroad in their life. Maybe it's your education. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's, God, what am I supposed to do? Maybe you know what God's called you to do, but that just doesn't even look possible to you. And so you refuse to entertain the possibility that you can have the thing that God has placed in your heart. See, that's what the children of Israel did. They refused to entertain the possibility that they could possess the land because they saw themselves as not able to. And so instead of believing that it was possible and entertaining the possibility, they would have rather just put it aside and not allowed themselves to be disappointed. Dreams that are given to you They're given to you by God. And you may not know when that dream is going to come to pass, but don't ever let go of it. Don't ever say, well, it's been 5 years. Well, it's been 10 years. Well, I just don't see how it's going to happen. Well, I guess I was just wrong. Don't ever do that. Don't ever stop believing in what God has called you to do. Ever. It doesn't matter if it's 20 years down the road. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God has called you to do great things. I don't know you. I don't know your path. I don't know what it is that you do. But I'm telling you that there's a greater call in your life than whatever it is that you're doing right at this moment. Okay? So what you need to do is make sure you're learning to hear His voice every day. And He's going to direct you, and dreams and visions that He has given you, they will come to pass. Okay, that's just what the Lord told me to tell you. Okay? Thank you, Lord. I want you to think about those situations right now. Now, you have a choice to make. It can be a point of no return for you. You have a choice to make. Have you been working on the things that you talked to me about? Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Okay? Obey. Don't give up. Sometimes when we push into the things of God, we want things to align exactly right. And when it doesn't happen exactly the way that we thought it was going to, then we say, well, that must not have been a God. I'm telling you, don't let that happen. Josh and Rebecca, come here. Don't give up on your dream. It hasn't happened as quickly as you hoped that it would happen. But don't give up on it. Now, you, both of you, need to continue to grow spiritually and to continue to get to that place that you're hearing Him every day. Okay, to accomplish what God has placed in your heart, to accomplish the things that God has given you, it requires hearing and obeying. Okay, so I just encourage you. I mean, I'm just doing this by this. What the Spirit of God is just telling me to tell you. I just encourage you to continue to press, to continue to press, and even when doors look like they're not opening, okay, Jesus said, I open doors that no man can shut. It's not about you opening the doors. It's Jesus opening the doors for you. Continue to press into the things of God and watch favor surround both of you and watch increase happen in your lives. Amen? You receive that? Okay. Praise God. So, I'll get to the end of this thing shortly. Just doing what the Holy Spirit says. Listen. Think about it. Have you made decisions and then you look back and say, man, I wish I was still back over here. I wish I was still in this job. I wish I was still in this place. I wish I was still doing this. That is an Egypt mindset. Never look back and say, I wish I was back there. Because where you are right now, you're in the perfect will of God. And if you will continue to believe him, he will take you to a place that even though it may look like it's impossible. Listen, all the children of Israel had to do was be in position. All they had to do was just show up. But you know, people won't even show up to a job interview because they don't even think that it's possible that they're going to have the favor to get the job. God will place in somebody's heart and say, hey, call this company and see if they got an opening. And you won't even step out and call the company because you don't want to be disappointed. That was the children of Israel. You've got to at least show up so that God can work on your behalf. So right now, lift your hands towards heaven. Take the limits off. Never look back. Never look back to I wish it was this way. Always move forward because that's where your greatest victory lies. Glory to God. Right now, minds are being changed. Hearts are being changed. Right now. Hallelujah. Things that you thought limited you, things that you thought would keep you from succeeding, all of those things are being broken off of you right now because you're making the decision to believe God and what he said. Chains and strongholds and bondages will stay there as long as you won't believe, as long as you allow them to. But when you finally step out and say, man, I'm going to go to a place that it has to be God. Man, that's the greatest place you can be. That is living by faith. That's right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Nathaniel, come here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You always sit out of the way and all of that. I understand. Man, I just love you so much. But I'm telling you, man, what the Spirit of God is just saying is every dream that you have, man, there is a... Don't limit what God can do in you, you know? Sometimes it's easy for us to look at... our personalities and being introverted and maybe not having, you know, having spent a lot of time speaking to others, you know, when I say in a group and things like that. So we just automatically assume that, you know, that that's not where God's called me, you know, because this is my personality, you know. Well, you know, God doesn't determine gifts and callings based on your personality or based on what you're comfortable with or what you're not comfortable with. So what I'm telling you is that even though there are some things that you may not be comfortable with as God leads you, you need to press on and be obedient to him. And what's going to happen in your life is he is going to change you from the inside out. I'm saying that, you know, within 2 years, you're not going to be the same person that you are right now. What he wants to do on the inside of you is, I just had a picture of this caterpillar just kind of in this cocoon, man. You know, it just kind of existed. But then all of a sudden something happened and it changed into this butterfly. And it's like you would not have known that this is the same, you know, the same creature that it was, you know, just a few days before. I'm telling you, that's the kind of work that God wants to do on the inside of you. So don't just be comfortable in this path that you're on. Man, I'm talking about reach out, stretch out, for greater things because God wants to do great things in your life in the name of Jesus. Okay? All right. Love you, man. Hallelujah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you. We thank you for your wonderful grace, for your wonderful mercy. Father, we answer the call to believe you, to believe in Jesus' name. Yeah, I'll do that. Sometimes, you can have this same fear, the same attitude that these Israelites had when it comes to your money. When God says, "Hey, I want you to help this person out. Hey, I want you to give this to you, this ministry. Hey, I want you to give this much to your church." Whatever it is. And because the figure doesn't match what our budget is, then sometimes we say, well, then we'll step back. We'll say, okay, God, I can't trust you with that. You know, God, I'm only used to giving this much, you know, whatever. And God says, if you want to really see and allow me to work in your finances, you got to trust me with your finances. Obey what God tells you to do. And I think there are people that have backed off in the areas of their finances because they keep looking to the impossibility of making their budget or whatever. It's just an area. I don't know. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you again, Lord. Father, I thank you for talking to the people about their finances and how they're supposed to handle those things, who they're supposed to bless, people that they'll see in need, Father. Lord, and as they commit to you, to be obedient to you, Father, it'll just unlock the resources of heaven that's already been given to them in their lives. Hallelujah. Father, I believe people's minds were changed. Their hearts were moved more towards you and believing you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now just receive that outpouring of grace in your life right now in the name of Jesus. All the fears gone. All the uncertainties gone. Be bold. Be courageous. Know that God has called you to do greater than what you are doing right now. And know that he will make it happen in your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we receive it now. Does anybody need healing tonight? I always open that up. I can't close a service without letting somebody come up. They need to be prayed for healing. Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Is there anybody that has any pain that needs prayer for healing tonight that wants to come up? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory to God. Well, say this. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
I trust you.
I trust you.
I believe you.
I believe you.
And I possess the land,
and I possess the land
that you've already given me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, take a few moments, hug people, bless them in Jesus' name, and go out rejoicing. Amen.